Faux Pas, an Adventure Zone fic featuring the pairing Taco Kravitz. Written by Robin Otts and read by Revolutionary Joe. This isn't really how Taco pictured Kravitz's debut would go, but, well, even he can admit it could have been much worse. His ideal scenario had been one in which Magnus and Merle were under so much pressure to not make a scene, maybe in a library or at a funeral or on Taco's deathbed, that they would have had to shut all the potential yelling and grousing deep, deep inside until the shock and outrage settled down, and then Taco would make his escape, with Kravitz in tow, of course, he wouldn't just leave the poor guy to the wolves. And by the time he and his boys met up again, Merle and Magnus would be over it, and it would be all settled, and Taco would never have to actually talk about anything. That was the dream. That was how he wanted every single interaction ever in his life to go. Instead, they just ran into each other by total fucking coincidence at 9 a.m. in a park on the complete opposite side of town from where Taco, Magnus, and Merle live. That was, supposed to be, one of the many benefits to going out with Kravitz, a goddamn break from those two boneheads. And the kind of breaks Kravitz treats him to, well, obviously there's the mind-blowing sex. Kravitz is incredibly handsome, and he knows how to use those big hands, broad frame, full lips, etc., etc., to the greatest of effects. Also, if Taco could have a portrait commissioned of his abs, he would frame that shit in his fucking foyer. God bless. But aside from that, Kravitz is a traditional romantic. His income as a high-level employee of a high-class funeral home, combined with the royalties from his old compositions, furnishes a very comfortable lifestyle. He pays for fancy meals at fancy restaurants without batting an eye, and as someone who is still paying off a history/archaeology degree, not to mention a now-useless stint at culinary school, Taco is digging that very much, yes. He allows Taco to pay it back by letting him actually make use of his massive kitchen, begging a lack of talent and that your company and cooking is worth more than some filet mignon or yuppie fusion cuisine. Every time he says that kind of super extra garbage, Taco has to roll his eyes from where he's preparing whatever he plans to dish out that night, and reply that, "You better watch out, or one of these days I'll feed you dog food or poison, and you'll just shovel it down like you do everything else I put in front of you." And he has a really nice personality, and is easy to talk to, and has a way of naturally lowering Taco's defenses, and makes him feel at ease, and he can make him laugh, and there's this natural give and take between them, and... whatever. Whatever. But, to the matter at hand, Taco was on Kravitz's arm, one of his favorite places, dishing out the hottest gossip from the back rooms of the museum, about Killian and Carrie's latest wedding planning hurdle. Carrie's tool of a brother wants to bring his shitty friends and, no. And intern Angus's total lack of competency at leading children tours, even though he's a child, and inexplicably a grad student, so shouldn't he be like, you know, good at stuff? And the director's stringent new guidelines on how to handle artifacts and how they're totally bull, because Taco has a degree, dammit, and outside of those one or two incidents, he's done just fine so far. It had been agreed that he hadn't been at fault for the Phandalin artifact, okay? And, in turn, nodding along sympathetically to Kravitz griping about certain patrons of the funeral home not letting him do his damn job. And then the daughter says she wants to break off a finger to keep on her mantelpiece, Kravitz was saying as they turned a corner around some stupidly tall hedge, and Taco was gasping out a, "No, she didn't," when his attention was diverted away from the handsome man at his side by the appearance of the two ugly fucks he least wanted to see at this exact moment. He would have made a dexterity saving throw right then and there to tackle him and Kravitz behind a bush and out of sight, but unfortunately there are no dungeons and no dragons in this godforsaken park, and Magnus and Merle were already staring wide-eyed at them, a donut dropping from Merle's hand as Taco and Kravitz stared right back, their arms entwined, hickeys high on their necks. Caught. Taco's fight-or-flight instincts immediately ticked over to flight, because oh god, he knew the other two hadn't gotten over the first time they'd all crossed paths. Seriously, why on earth the scientific advisor of a museum would try to steal a priceless artifact in order to have it buried with his mom was beyond Taco. but Kravitz had not taken kindly to the three of them breaking into the mortuary at 3 in the morning, and okay, in hindsight, Taco can see why he was mad, but it was for a good reason, and he would never back down from that, no matter how good the sex is. And this was definitely about to get very ugly, very fast, and he needed to run. And then Magnus's eyes lit up, and he dropped into a crouch, whistling and patting his thighs like an absolute goober. And Taco remembered the reason he and Kravitz were even in the park, rather than still curled up on Kravitz's massive, luxurious bed, perhaps engaging in some morning canoodling, and realized it was also the only way he was going to get out of this situation alive. Kravitz's little black Pomeranian, Wilhelmina — Taco calls her Spot out of sheer pity, because Wilhelmina, Christ — criminally adorable, outrageously fluffy, and pampered beyond all belief. Seriously, there must be solid gold in her dog food with how much Kravitz pays for it. "Oh my goodness!" Magnus squealed, eyes sparkling and mouth stretched in a soppy grin. Wilhelmina cocked her head to one side and let out a woof, but stayed at Kravitz's heel. Kravitz, Taco, and Merle all stared at the boulder of a man making a fool of himself in a public park. "What's their name? Can I pet them? Are they a girl or a boy? I don't want to gender a little sweetheart like this. Are they friendly? How old are they? They're a pom, right? I love poms! Your dog is so cute!" Kravitz stood stunned for another moment, arms still tight around Taco's shoulders, then cleared his throat and dropped his arm. "Her name is Wilhelmina, and she's perfectly friendly," he said, and Taco watched with some amusement as Kravitz's layer of bombast settled on his shoulders like a well-worn velvet coat. If he listened closely, he could hear even the slight affectation to his voice. "Dweeb. She never bites. I trained her well." "Ooh, this sweet little baby girl princess sweetheart would never bite," Magnus said, still thwapping away at his thighs like he's playing the goddamn bongo drums. "Come here, Willie. Come to Maggie." Then Kravitz slackened her leash. Wilhelmina minced toward the big embarrassment in front of her, and that brought them to the present moment. "Who's a good girl?" Magnus is cooing, scratching eagerly at the fur behind Wilhelmina's ears, his big ham hands nearly engulfing her head. Wilhelmina's eyes are drifting closed, and she's leaning into Magnus's ministrations. The man is an expert dog petter. "You's a good girl." Kravitz is standing somewhat stiffly, answering any eager questions about Wilhelmina that Magnus lobs his way, and making sure his dog isn't getting obliterated with the force of Magnus's adoration. Merle is standing beside Magnus and darting his eyes from Taco to Kravitz and back again, making disbelieving and exasperated faces that Taco does not appreciate. Just because they share a house and Merle is his de facto dad at this point doesn't mean he has any right to judge Taco's life choices, especially the good ones. Even if Kravitz sprained. Broke? Who cares? Merle's elbow with a fire extinguisher 6 months ago. And yeah, the whole mortuary break-in had been kind of a disaster, even if they'd gotten the artifact back and Dr. Miller had been buried with all due ceremony. They'd only gotten out of there without Kravitz calling the cops by showing him their official museum badges under blacklight, because he wouldn't believe they were actually there for somewhat academic purposes. And all right, Taco will admit that their backstory sounded a little far-fetched, and there was also a game of cards that Taco likes to think he helped Magnus win by showing some strategic leg. So what? Kravitz was and still is setting off the smoke detector levels of hot. Taco goes after what he wants, even if he hadn't been planning on seeing Kravitz ever again. So he was fairly surprised a month later when Kravitz had wandered through the front doors of the museum wearing a suit so well cut Taco nearly fell off the rickety front desk chair. Instead, he just knocked over a bunch of pens, and as he helped him pick them up, Kravitz explained that he'd been in the neighborhood and remembered the name of the museum, and, well, he was honestly curious what kind of work necessitated breaking and entering a funeral home at that time of night. Taco was the only one working the front that day, but it had been so slow that Taco felt free to leave his post to give Kravitz a tour. Taco had led him around the museum, explaining what they do, what he does, and had even let him peek into the back archives, which he really isn't supposed to do, but Kravitz had been such a good listener, and he seemed actually interested, and honestly, it's not hard to convince Taco to break the rules, especially when you've got cheekbones that defined. They were rifling through some antebellum-era eyeglasses when Kravitz's phone had beeped, and Kravitz had made that certain face Taco now recognizes as the one he makes when Taco cracks a bad joke in the middle of sex. Kravitz had been called back to work, regrettably. But this is fascinating. Here's my business card. I'd love to hear more about this sometime. And Taco had tucked the business card away with a level of care he wouldn't ever admit to, and after a couple of days of getting his courage up and waiting for a zit to go away, he'd called Kravitz, gotten him to buy him a bottle of really fancy wine, and the rest, as they say, is really, really good sex and companionship. It's like all healthy and shit, which Taco isn't super used to and is finding he's super into. Just like Kravitz is super into him every Saturday night, if you catch his drift. Sex. It's sex. It's kind of awesome to actually enjoy being around his boyfriend? Ugh. Boy toy? Kravitz is older than him. Sugar daddy? Not that much older. Lover? Ugh. Like every other time this quandary has come up, Taco shoves it to the back of his head. A problem for future Taco, hopefully one with more emotional wherewithal. Now there's a laugh. Present Taco is currently concerned with whether Magnus even cares about any part of this situation besides Wilhelmina, which is pretty safely a no, honestly. Magnus has his priorities, and those priorities are dog. Kravitz leaves his side to pick Wilhelmina up, holding her close to his chest and smoothing down her neck ruff as a little smile tugs up a corner of his mouth. He nods along emphatically to Magnus's exclamations of how she's perfect and the best dog I've ever met, and look at her little tongue, I'm about to cry, dude! Merle sidles up next to him with what Taco knows is a shit-eating grin, so he stares resolutely at Kravitz, who is busy agreeing with Magnus about how she's the softest thing in the world, with an unashamedly sincere expression on his face, one that Taco usually only sees when Kravitz is playing the piano, or in the afterglow, or the before-glow, or over tables of fancy restaurants, or in his now-used kitchen, or when he thinks Taco isn't looking. Anyway, it's a particular expression. Taco hangs around him a lot, and Krav's easy on the eyes, so sue him.
So, Kravitz, huh? Merle says.
Taco shrugs. Kravitz is bouncing Wilhelmina gently in his arms. Merle lets out a,
huh. Can't say I'm exactly pleased, but it's your life, kiddo.
Taco does not deign to respond. Magnus boops Wilhelmina on the nose. Merle takes the time to scratch at his beard, and then says,
Guess Kravitz likes him small, fluffy, and spoiled.
And there he's cut off because he foolishly forgot that standing next to Taco at their respective heights gives Taco the perfect opportunity to elbow the stupid old man in the fucking jugular. Are you two done? Taco drawls, stepping towards Kravitz and away from the hacking and wheezing and otherwise very not okay Merle. Not that this isn't charming as all get out, but all my shit is back at your house, honey bunches, and if we let these two bond any more, Magnus may steal poor Spot. Taco just barely manages to not lose his shit at the way Kravitz reflexively tightens his hold on his dog. What a loser. That isn't meant fondly. Leave him alone.
Wait,
Magnus exclaims, his face the image of distress. He fumbles around his sweater pocket and pulls out his phone.
Just let me.
There's a pause that's awkward for everyone but Magnus as Magnus takes a selfie with Wilhelmina. As soon as Taco hears the camera shutter noise, he hooks his elbow on Kravitz's and drags him back from whence they came. Tell the director I'll email her my draft of the cup thing by, like, 9 tonight, and to stop bugging me about it. Right now, I'm going to eat some brunch.
Brunch? Merle cuts in excitedly.
And suck some dick.
Never mind.
And I can't have you two cramping my style. Laters.
Stumbling after him, Kravitz nods once and says, Pleasure to meet you two on better terms. Merle gives him a weak thumbs up, probably still processing the last 5 minutes with his feeble geriatric brain. Magnus is cooing, Bye-bye! At Wilhelmina, who, because she honestly is the best, has her little nose in the air. That girl gets it. Back at Kravitz's house, Taco has perched himself on the kitchen island as Kravitz refills Wilhelmina's bowl with water from the goddamn Alps or something, probably, when his phone buzzes beside him.
The text notification on the screen reads,
Wilhelmina is so cute. You have to marry Kravitz so I can see her every day. She's the best dog ever. She's perfect.
The moment he's finished reading it, it buzzes again in his hand.
Also, you and Kravitz seem really good together. Merle won't say so, but I know he thinks it too. I hope he treats you right, but assholes don't usually have dogs that cute, so you're probably in good hands. Smiley face!
Taco shakes his head at his stupid friends and also at himself for the stupid gay smile he knows is creeping onto his stupid gay face. Back, ye foul beast. He hops off the counter and lopes over to the fridge, pulling open the door and squinting at what Kravitz has, trying not to roll his eyes at the entire shelf of prepackaged yogurt cups. Looks like it's time for Taco to steal his credit card and buy all the organic free-range shit the Whole Foods offers so the man will eat something decent when Taco isn't around to save him from lean cuisine. Oh, wait, looks like there's some eggs and some other shit, too. Taco checks the dates. Still good. Sweet. You want an omelet, my dude? Taco calls over as he pulls out a frying pan with a clang and a clatter. Kravitz stops staring soppily at Wilhelmina scarfing down her roasted lamb or whatever to stare soppily at him. What Merle said earlier echoes through his head, and Taco ignores it just as skillfully as he ignores the little pirouette his stomach does. Kravitz leaves Wilhelmina to it and walks over to wrap his arms around Taco's waist. That would be lovely, dear. Taco gives in and leans his head back onto Kravitz's shoulder. Okay, so he's feeling a bit sappy, and Kravitz has a great shoulder. The best, maybe. Sure thing, Fido. Fido? Gotta be thematically appropriate. I see. Give a dog a bone? Wait till brunch is over, you horn dog. The end. This has been Faux Pas by Robinauts and read by Revolutionary Joe. The music used was No Dogs on the Moon by Griffin McElroy. If you enjoyed this podfic and you'd like to leave feedback or find a link to the written work, please visit my AO3 page, ao3.org/users/revolutionaryjoe. Thanks for listening.